Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat shalom, Mishpachah. How's everybody doing today? All right, happy to hear that. Welcome to another episode of Blog Talk and Study to Show Thyself Approved Unto Yahweh. Pray that everybody who is tuning in, and make sure that you have all your tools, your Bible, whether electronic or whether physical, and all the other tools that you need. As my brother even stated last night, make sure you got your highlighter. Amen. That's right. Don't forget your tools, because they're very important. Don't take our word for it. Make sure that whatever you are hearing from our lessons here at Beth Yahweh, that you are following along and also following up with whatever information and material that we may present to you, because one of the things that our mentor, our teacher always said was, don't take my word for it, study it for yourself. And that's the whole reason why this lesson is even called Study to Show Thyself Approved, and before our Creator, and give account. And you ain't got nobody else standing next to you. Well, you got Yahushua, you know, hopefully he in your corner, speaking up for you. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you stand there, you ain't standing with nobody else. You got to give an account for your actions by yourself. So, you're going to prepare for that day. And a little happy about today because my brother and I, you know, we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. We didn't get to talk this week, and I seen that was for a reason. You know, one of the things that my brother mentioned to me 2 weeks ago, my brother y'all, when we were talking, and, you know, we just had a general conversation. Of course, you know, it's, the word is always in the midst of that. But one of the things that he had mentioned to me, do you remember what it was? He was that close to the pity party table. You know, he was getting close to it. You know, he was getting close to the buffet and said, man, don't nobody ever quote what I say. You mention my teeth. Now you remember. You remember that now? It's a private conversation, but I'm going to bring it to light because Yahweh heard what he said, and Yahweh's going to answer what the brother said. Because, again, he and I didn't get the opportunity to talk this week. So whatever I didn't realize that he was starting his rotation. It wasn't until last night when I tuned in that I realized that we are into his session, Can It Be So Simple? And the truth of the matter is this life is not complicated. Maybe at first when you begin walking this way, there are challenges to it because it's a change in your lifestyle. It's a change in what you've been used to. But as you continue in his word, it gets easier. It's not as difficult to give up certain things or to continue giving up things that you have given up. You know, like what we learned in last week's lessons when Brother Safu'el was teaching. You know, it's all about that discipline. It's all about that self-control. And, you know, anything starting out, the hardest part of it is once you've made that mental commitment, now to get to the physical part of it and what you're doing, you know. But we are going to talk today about, we're going to be reading from the book of Amos. So, well, that is actually the quote-unquote keynote for today is Amos. Because we're going to talk about the prophets. And one of the things that we learn from the book of Amos is this. If you turn with me to Amos 3:7. Shalom Aleichem, my key. One of the things that he says is, surely Yahweh Elohim will do nothing but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now, when you hear that, what does it denote? What does that say to you when you hear that? Anybody? What does it say to you? Nothing. So that means if Yahweh has a relationship with a particular individual, right, which prophets are a special individual in the eyes of Yahweh, Yahweh says, I ain't going to do nothing until I do something, talk to this man. And we're going to see proof positive. We are going to see proof positive that Yahweh does nothing unless he actually has a sit down with his prophet. That's not a lie. And we're going to see an example of that in the scriptures. But before we go there, let's talk about what it means when he says, surely Yahweh Elohim will do nothing but he reveals. Now remember what we went through last week. And it all is to build on this whole foundation because, see, one of the things that we have in this world is a continual attack against the word of Yahweh. And he don't care if he'll attack it in any denomination that it comes in. He will. There's no hold barred. Because as far as he is concerned, that as long as it exists in any form, whether it's English, whether it's Hindi, whether it's Farsi, whether it's Arabic, as long as somebody is giving somebody an idea that there is a God, he has a will, he has a purpose for us, and that we need to have a relationship with him, he's going to attack it. You know, I was thinking about something on the way over here besides the fact that what my brother and I talked about 2 weeks ago, and there's a guy called Uncle Bill, a Spanish brother, and he and I have worked on some projects together at the hospital. And he said to me, you know, partner, I said, what's up, Uncle Bill? He said, you know when you have a mastery of a particular language? And I said, no. He said, when you dream in it. He said, when you have a mastery over a particular language, he said, you will have a dream in that language, and the words will come to you as fluent as your native language. And I said, wow, that's awesome, Uncle Bill. I don't speak two languages, but hopefully one day I will get that fluent in at least another language besides English, that would happen to me. And it hasn't happened yet. Sure, I've dreamt about certain things, and maybe a word or two may pop up in there or whatever. You know, I'm a weird dreamer. I think too much to have certain dreams. Like, if Yahweh send me a dream, it's sure enough. He done knocked me out. He put me down. But most dreams, I'm thinking through. Funny dream I had the other day. It was me and my brother Mara out, right? And it's time for me to pay my bill, you know. So I meet up with the brother. I said, come follow me to the bank machine at the hospital, right? And it was a dream about me actually meeting up with the brother at the bank machine at the hospital. And I'm standing there, me and him talking, like, really in the dream. And everything is set right, except one thing. I look down the hallway in the dream, and I'm like, that ain't the hallway in the hospital.
Just a dream.
And and I woke right up out the dream. Because it was like, I knew I was dreaming at that point. Because everything was real, you know, except for that. But anyway, the whole point of it is, when Yahweh talked to the prophet, though, he does say, yes, I speak to them in dreams and in similitudes. But when he reveals it to you, it's not in a dream state. It's not in any type of state in which you're not cognizant and you're not aware. He reveals his will plainly to you and speaks it to you so that you will know of it. My brother's not in his head because he's experienced that. You know that. And not that I'm saying that I ain't anybody special, because I'm not anyone special. But there are times I do know within my heart that what I'm getting right now is from Yahweh. And what confirms it is the word. Or another brother may speak a word that confirms it. We've all experienced that, you know. But what does he mean when he says, I'm going to reveal it to the prophet? Because that's the part we have to understand, too, is that there has to be some sort of revelation. And a lot of people discount revelation. But the whole point in the process to revelation is that revelation has to be substantiated by something in the word, whether it says it outright, whether there's an inference, whether there's, you know, even Paul says those things are allegories. Those things are given before time, are given for our learning, but they're not always, you know, you should do this and you should do that. You shouldn't do this. First of all, let's talk about the story about Adam and Eve. So many inferences can be drawn from the story of Adam. Have a lesson from a brother. So Dwight ain't saying it to everybody, but I wasn't sure if everybody would receive it, blah, 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 blah. And granted, the brother was a little preachy, but so what? If he makes sense, if he's coming across with knowledge and jewels, if it's the word, it's the word. And if the brother is revealing a truth through the word, then receive it. Receive it. I mean, my brother was talking about it because I have faith that you will do his will. Right around, my brother. Right? Man, talked on faith last night. Huh? But the thing about it, and what we're going to get to it with my brother, you know, like I said, man, Yahweh listens to you, bro. He hears you. And he said, just hold on, brother. Just hold on, man. I'll change you, my son. You do my will. I'll use you the way I want to use you, is what Yahweh said. I'll use you the way I want you. But the fact that you had the desire to be used, Yahweh said, I'm going to use you now. I'm going to use you. Talk about this. We're going to go to Amos 3:7. But, you know, even reading last week in Deuteronomy 29 and ending off with that which is revealed belongs to you and your son.
Amen.
Well, if I reveal it to you, that means you're supposed to have this information. You're supposed to have this knowledge. But you know another thing, and the point that I was actually trying to make with the dreaming about the mastery of the language. See, in order to translate this language, translate the Bible into the language that it's in, guess what people have to have a mastery of? The original language. You can't translate the Bible into another language until you are very fluent in Hebrew. So that means these people now who are translating the Bible that are very fluent in Hebrew are doing the world a disservice and know it. Why? Because they know, and it's funny because I was talking to my man in the office, my homeboy, my team lead. You know, a lot of people don't like him, but I love him, brother. And me and him was rapping about the word. A lot of people don't really think, because he come off the way he come off, they don't think that the man is a spiritual person. But he's hard. He really is. He's hard. He's hard. My brother-in-law, my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law, I don't think my brother-in-law. But he's hard. He do come off hard. But he's really by the book. He's the opposite of me when it comes to stuff at work. And people hate him as a result of it. Because if it says, do A, B, C, X, Y, Z.
Hey, man, you didn't do X, A, B, C, X, Y, Z.
That's okay, sir. If they do it A to C, then not really do the B, but come back to the B, it's okay. That's me. But he, on the other hand, you keep doing that. Keep slacking. Is why he's slacking? Okay, sir. Okay. Okay. I got you. I got you. I got you. I got you. Easy, killer. You my man, dog. Yeah, don't let that pit bull out the gate on you, boy. Come, kill him. Come, whoop him. But one of the things we were going through, and he's been going through a tough time now. His wife has had a stroke, and, you know, it's all on him. He really can't depend on anybody to help him out in that situation. As much as I'm suggesting to him, you know, get help. There's resources out there for you and your wife, especially the age on that. Go out there and get some help. No, man. You know, and I understand. We're not trusting the people. We don't like entrusting our loved ones for just like that. And it's why people can, you know, get this. Others get themselves in situations because we just ain't that trusting with people all the time. So he's not getting help. He said to me, you know what's my strength, brother? You know what's my strength, brother? I said, go ahead, talk to me. He pulled up the word. Now, granted, it was about the in there where it talks about Yahweh Nisi, that particular scripture. But he went through the word, and the one thing that, as we were reading it together, because me and him read it together, came across as Jehovah. You know, Jehovah needs you. He reading Jehovah, I'm Yahweh. You know, but the point of the matter is we did have a moment. I said, you know, when I realized that you were serious about the word, I said, most people don't refer to the word as a sword. And that's the one thing I told him. I said, man, that caught me. That touched me when you said that, because we, my brothers, refer to it as a sword. A lot of people outside of, you know, Hebrews don't really refer to the word as a sword. He was like, man, I got to get my sword sharp. I ain't got my sword sharp. And that's why a lot of people be like, well, you soft on him. No, I know he got a heart. And I got a heart for him because I know he starts off sincere. Somewhere in between that and the execution of the situation, it gets a little muddy. But in any way, but in order to translate into another language, you must master that language. So the people who are translating the Bible have a mastery of this word, otherwise they couldn't translate it. But with that mastery now, they have that trickery behind it because they're not translating these words over in the way that they should be translated in order to bring about the full thought and the concept that Yahweh is trying to instill. So now, let's go to Amos. Amos 3:7. And he said, matter of fact, let's read the start from 3:1. Hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is to him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and Yahweh hath not done it? Now, it doesn't mean evil in the sense of what the world looks at as evil, but he pulls away his protection from you. In Yahweh's eyes, I have to do evil to you. But I pull my protection away from him, I'm separated from him. In Yahweh's eyes, that's evil. And that's what he's letting the people know. So he's trying to build a point here because he's building a case for himself and a case for this prophet. And he says, surely Yahweh Elohim will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophet. So now let's dig into that a little bit, family. We'll look into the Hebrew. found this word that he used in the Hebrew to be very interesting. The term is Dalah, right? And it's 1540 in the Strong's. I love to see that smile on your face when I'm sitting there talking. That's a these good things. And it's a primitive root to delude, to get naked, as my brother likes to say. So it means that in order for Yahweh to start dealing with you, or when the prophet, that means he unrobes himself. He takes his clothes off. But there's a quote that what my brother said last night is, Yahweh covers you. He was talking about the belt. Do you remember you talking about the belt of faith, girding yourself with the faith? So Yahweh takes a portion of himself off and places it on you. He even brought up the example last night about what we learned in the Maccabees. And I got to share that with somebody this week, too, because she was going through a hard time. I said, let me share. You heard about the Maccabees? Let me share this with you, miss. And when I told her about that, the horse coming down out of heaven, the angel coming down out of heaven on a horse with a golden bridle, and how he took his armor off and put it on the Maccabee so that when he went out there, nothing could touch him. She was like, I'm good to go. She was good after that. Yeah, but my brother talked about that last night. So that angel, when he took his armor off, denuded himself. Yeah? And when Yahweh takes off, or he sends one of his angelic beings to take something off of them and puts it on you, now he's become exposed so you can be protected. You could be covered, but you can't do it without what, my brother? Faith. Can't do it without that faith. But I thought that was so interesting that the revealing is Yahweh says, all right, I'm going to start taking stuff off. And you could see it. Now, we know he has no semblance like a human being does, but the whole idea is the concept of him uncovering his being and letting you see that light that he got, opening up your mind, talking to you, having a personal relationship with you, which we won't see that too. Because the Moshiach says this, yea, I stand at the door and knock. Whosoever will open up will do what? I will come in and I will sup with you. I'm going to have dinner with you. But there's an example of him actually doing that in the word. You mean God will have dinner with you? Oh, yes, he will. But you have to be in a certain frame of mind for him to do it. Okay? So, because he will not do anything, but he revealeth his secret. Now, let's look at the term secret. So, we get the idea right there of what it means, the word term galah. I'm going to read a little bit more of it first, though. To delude, especially in a disgraceful sense, by implication to exile, captives, being used, stripped, figuratively, to reveal, advertise, like my brother Charles likes to say, I like being a billboard for Yahweh. Pair, bewray, bring, carry, lead, go, captive, into captivity, depart, disclose, discover. So we even see in the such, because one of the terms for exile is what? Gullah. To be cast away. So even think about this. In him casting us away, the whole purpose of it was so that he could be revealed to us in this world. So there is the negative and the positive all wrapped up in what is seemingly negative was actually a positive. You see what I'm saying? So let's look at this term for secret. And this is one of my favorite words. And it's very relevant at this time of the day, to this time of the year. Because what is this season that we're heading into now? Y'all see the things starting to bud? Trees and plants starting to bud? Hebrews 5:4-5. Sold. And it's from 3245. This is funny. A session. That is company of persons in close deliberation by implication, intimacy, consultation, a secret assembly, counsel, inward, secret counsel. So you mean to tell me that Abba has a secret meeting or a meeting in which he counsels him, he reveals himself and he has counseled with this person, these prophets? Well, hold up. Think about Yahushua and what Yahushua did. Did he not expose himself? Think about the quote-unquote event that took place before the Last Supper. Did he not take his robes off? Did he not kneel down and wash their feet? That's denuding yourself in Hebrew. Exposing what's usually, now doesn't mean he was completely naked, because just in our culture, showing a little bit of the privy parts, and this is all considered the privy parts, right here, showing even a little bit of it, it's considered denuding yourself. Because in our culture, we don't walk around outside bare chest, bare back. We don't do that. That's not what Hebrews did. Not amongst the family. We didn't do that. Did we? Hebrew culture? No, we don't do that. That's not something. We don't expose ourselves. That's something the Grecians and the other cultures did. But we don't go around exposing ourselves. Not even the men. The men don't go around exposing themselves like that. They don't. So we see, we kind of get a picture here, right, of what Yahweh actually is doing with the prophet. He's exposing himself. And in this exposure, he's also sitting down one-to-one with the prophet. You're like, if you got a person you report to like I do, they want to have those one-to-one sessions periodically with you. That's what Yahweh does with the prophet. He has a one-to-one with the prophet. And think about what he did with Moshe. And we talked about a little bit about this last week. Moshe, I'm going to wipe these people out. And Moshe said, hold on, don't do that. Don't do that. Because if you do that, then this will happen. And they're giving Yahweh counsel. As a matter of fact, when you talk the worldly term for when somebody gets that angry and somebody speaks to them and calls them out is what? Talking them off the ledge, right? So Yahweh on the ledge right there. I'm going to wipe these people out. I'm about to lay waste to all of them. And I'm going to raise up people with you. Hold up. No, don't do that, Yahweh. Let's think about this. Let's think about this. That's giving somebody counsel. Helping somebody think about the bigger picture. You need to tell me, and that's an example of the word, refute what I'm saying, that a human had to talk to Yahweh to get them to calm down a little bit, think about their actions. And my father, and my father's father, and his father's father. So funny, because my wife got on me the other day because she tried to tell me she was Native American. I said, yeah, I ain't seen a whole lot of Native American up in that bad boy. Then she got the genealogy test, ain't had no Native American in it, had a whole lot of European in it. So I've been joking her ever since, and then she got on me and said, I know you don't think you ain't got no European in you. I said, I know I do. Maybe good. I said, so what? But when the one out there saying I'm this, that, and the third, don't get mad at me. I'm real with mine. I know I come from, I got some coffee going up there in me. There's no problem with that. When my parents took me back home to Jamaica, there's a whole bunch of them tokens. So I know. I sent the picture. I ain't in denial about that, okay? I do know. From 18th chapter, first one, son. And Yahweh appeared unto him, this is Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he began. And he lifted up his eyes, I will lift my eyes, and look, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. And if you know anything about what's going on, 17th chapter, what happened to old father Abraham? He fulfilled the commandment, right? The first time that we hear about the person I know went and got that done. And, you know, he's very open and candid with me about it, you know, because he had to be out sick for a while. He said it ain't no joke. Getting it at this point in his life in his 20s, it sat him down. You know, and you know what we do is we move around a lot, you know, so you can't do no whole lot of moving in that situation. You can't. And he's fresh off of it right here. And you can't do no whole lot of moving around in that situation. Matter of fact, he had to call out a few more days just because of additional stuff that was going on. It's a serious procedure later on in life. So we're talking about Abraham getting this at a point where you ain't got no position to go run to and say, I'm feeling like this, or I'm this type of discomfort or whatever. You know, but anyway, This is where he at right now, right? It says that he 18:2. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. What do you see Abraham doing right there? He's begging him. He's begging him. Abraham got there like, oh, please, don't go. But showing honor. Showing honor. And the thing about it is it's that he ran to meet him. He ran to meet him. We should also be getting something else from that, because who else ran to meet someone? Who is it? The prodigal son. He said, back to 18:3, and said, my Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. We should get something from what we hear, that wash your feet. Who washed our feet? So there should be a connection here between this scenario, and you see it as we go along, and the season we're about to come into. So let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. And therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So he entreated them first, and he offered to comfort them. He offered to cleanse them. And then he offered to feed them. And see, this is where Solomon can say, if you want friends, you must show yourself to be friendly. So imagine if Abraham hadn't done what he had done and just let them walk on by. Not that that would have happened, but this also was a testament to show you how Yahweh wants his children to be. Part of why, as my brother brought out last night, Abraham could be called a friend of Yahweh, because he had the spirit of hospitality. He had the spirit of kindness. He had everything that the fruits of the spirit say that his children should have. He's showing us right now how we should be. 18:5, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, and therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do so as thou hast said. 18:6, now Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah. Think about it. He running into that tent. Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man. And he hastened and milk and the calf. You mean our father Abraham? I wonder what they do with that when they see it. And they say, you can't mix milk and meat, because then how is Abraham, our father, going to set a bad example for us to follow? Because I thought milk was made from butter. I mean, butter was made from milk. So he got 2 forms of dairy products in here that he going to have them put on the same plate and meal for them to eat. But anyway, which he dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree. And what did they do? They didn't say, hold up now. We don't eat meat and milk together. He didn't say, hold up now. That's dairy and that's meat. That's milk chick and that's field chick. Come on, wait a minute now. That ain't right. You mean Father Abraham set a bad example for his children to follow? So this is why the scriptures say you have to rightly divide the word of truth. Because if Abraham wasn't the example for us to follow, why would Yahushua even say, you are not like your father Abraham?
Right.
Don't come to me talking about we have Abraham as our father, but you ain't doing nothing to Abraham. You ain't even eating meat and milk together.
Right
or wrong? He ain't even got to get them on nothing technical. Besides that, y'all ain't like your father Abraham. He was down with the meat and milk. sin? So even a simple example, because how could you really be hospitable to somebody if you ain't feeding them? And obviously this must be something good, because our father Abraham was the epitome of wealth back then. He wasn't no poor man. This wasn't something he had to scrape together. He said, I got my servant to go get it. See? You don't have servants unless you got to pay for them. You got to feed them. You got to house them. So you got to have a little bit of change to have a servant. I ain't got one. The people I work for, do they got me? And the people that work with me, they wealthy. They got servants. I ain't got no servants. 18:9, 18:8. And he took the butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. 18:9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent. Now just imagine the scene for us. So you know how back in the day they used to say, dig the scene? Just imagine the scene, right? And, you know, we've all come together in the congregation over the years. And usually the men are in one place, the women are in one place. You know, back in the day, you know, the brothers would be either on a, you know, outside talking, and the sisters would be inside talking, or they're in one area. They having a conversation. We having our conversation. Now, imagine the men out there, and they having a conversation. It's Abraham. They sitting down, and they eating the calf and drinking the milk and whatever, and, you know, putting butter on it and all that sort of stuff on the bread, and they having a good time. Ha, 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 ha. Hey, you know, where your wife at? Oh, she's in the tent. you know, this year, we come back to you this year, a year from now, she's going to be expecting. She's going to have a child, right? Big the same now. She's over here. Here, our kitchen over here, right? This is our kitchen. She over here. They over there, and they talking, right? Mm-hmm. But she's still listening, because a good wife always listens intently. That's one of the things that the brother talks about. Didn't he talk about that? A good wife, when she's concerned about her husband, never let a conversation go on too long without her saying, mm-hmm. So she listened. So she heard this and said, wait a minute. And they said unto him, 18:9, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. What is that? Menopause. Once the menopause is gone through, the fountain stops and things are done. Because the fountain is the body letting her know, you can do this, you can do this, it can happen, it can happen, it can happen. So the body has told her at this point, it can't happen no more. And it ain't like it stopped last month. We talking about it has gone on for some time now. That she hasn't had to go through this monthly. You see what I'm saying? So for her now, seeing is a thing, and Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it says, my brother said, a mature man last night, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah said this. She over here, right? But actually, not out loud though. That's the whole thing. In her mind, she's like, she's holding it together there because she don't want them to know she's in her. She's doing what she's supposed to do, right? She don't want them to know she's listening, but she's listening intently because that's what a good wife does. And in her mind, she's like, hold on. I'm saying it out loud, but it's actually a bubble, right? Yeah, right. Ha, 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 ha. Me have a child at this age, him and I with children, ha, 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 ain't going to happen. You see what I'm saying? Ain't going to happen. And then older people think about it, ain't really too interested in that after a certain age. You see what I'm saying? So that means there's a lot of dynamics that have to, there's a whole bunch of Lego pieces that have to be put together for this to happen. And in Sarah's mind, man, we just be chilling on the porch, you know, just hanging out in the heat of the day, having our conversation, reminiscing on life, and saying to ourselves, you know, it'd be nice for us to have a child. Da, 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 da. This might be her thoughts or whatever, you know, and their minds are like, it's a nice thought, but, you know, we'll just chalk it up as just one of those things that wasn't his will for us. You see what I'm saying? That's what he was at. Wasn't even a thought in your mind. So for her to love, look at the context. First of all, you really want to say that me at this age, we're going to start getting into that aspect of our life again, and after getting into that aspect of life, because it ain't, you got to keep doing it, right? You got to keep working at it in order for it to happen, right? It takes work, some effort, right? Okay, so she's saying all these things have to come into place for this to happen. So, of course, in her mind, anyone should be, no, little Chuck was a big, like, woo-ha-ha-ha. Yeah, right. Okay? So, and Yahweh said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child which I am old? Is anything too hard for Yahweh? Mm-hmm. This is him talking now, because right. she over in the kitchen. In area, or wherever area she might be, what they call it now, she shared, she may have been in her she shared, but she it said she's apart from them. Mm-hmm. And hearing that out loud inside her mind, she laughed. And guess what he said? Mm-hmm. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Mm-hmm. Saying, shall I surely be a child when I'm old? Is anything too hard for Yahweh? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. Repeating what he said before, and Sarah shall have a son. Hmm? But check this out. So her hearing this now says, wait a minute, I better go check this out. I don't want to get myself in no trouble, get myself in no hot. Well, first of all, I'm air hustling, but I'm air hustling because I'm protecting my husband, make sure I'm involved in what's going on. But I don't want them to think now that I'm being disrespectful. So she comes out and says, then Sarah denied saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst not. No, you laugh. Hmm? Because in her mind, ain't no way you heard me laugh. Because hmm? She ain't laugh out loud. It wasn't no LOL. It wasn't no LMAO. It wasn't no LMBO. You know what I'm saying? Hmm? All right. Okay. So it says, 18:50, and Sarah denied saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, no. Nay, but thou didst laugh. You laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. So not only did he entreat them when they came in, he washed them, he fed them, sat down and had conversation with them. So now as they're departing, he's like, oh, make sure you get part of the way through your journey. So that's why even Yahushua says, look, if they ask you for this, they say, walk one, walk two. If they ask you for this, give them that, and give them this. You see what I'm saying? And see, this is what me and my brother was talking about. He wants us to be model citizens in this world. We ought to be the shining example of what an American should be, or whatever land we dwell in. He wants us. He don't want us to be disruptive. He don't want us to be dissenters. He don't want us to be detractors. As long as it doesn't interfere with us keeping the will of Yahweh. And right. But he says this. Those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. The sword back then was the gun. So should we have a 9mm to protect your house? Yes. On a practical sense, yes. But now to say, well, I'm going to use it to pop off. If anything jump up, I got to use it to... No. But as men, we should protect our home. As men, we have a God-given right to give our life for our home and protect all therein, namely the souls that dwell therein. So I'm not saying I'm either for it or against it. Me personally, I don't want to touch one. But if I need one to protect my home, by all means. Because there's robbers and thieves out there. There's people who have ill intent out there. And that's why we always have to put these things into context. Just like we were talking about, preparing for everyday natural disasters is a must for anyone, let alone the believer. But understand when the proverbial dude, as my brother likes to say, jumps off and it's about coming after the believer, no, we got to follow Yahushua's example. And when they came for him at night, and Peter said, I got you, shook him, cut up. He said, Peter, whoop, shut up that sword. Those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. This is part of Yahweh's will. You see what I'm saying? So don't fight them taking me, what Yahweh has commanded them to do in taking me. You see what I'm saying? So we have to put these things in context. He knew, first of all, he hung out with Peter the whole time. He could have been told Peter don't hang, carry a sword around with him, right or wrong. Because Peter just ain't go get the sword. He didn't say, let me run to my house, grab that sword real quick. Peter carried it around with him. Peter was a G. Peter was no joke. He was like the man right here, manly man, manliness. He liked manliness. Hung out at the bars. Hmm? Did manly things. Back then, a fisherman wasn't no weak man. Fisherman was one of the strongest people. You can't be weak and have to do that.
that drag net and carry that heavy fish on that water while balancing on a boat? Back then, you had to really balance on a boat. You had to have shoreline skill to have that net in the full of fish, and you come on, Shimon, help me, help me, help me. And they're both going to have some lower body and upper body strength to drag all those fish into the boat. That's not no weak man's job. Yeah, they were strong men. And Peter knew the streets and back then were dangerous. So Peter walked with his sword. You ain't gonna catch me without my sword. But when it came down to you, and Yahushua never told him, you don't hear nothing, he said, don't carry the sword. He said, just don't live by it. Don't think that's your primary weapon. Y'all just claim it. Y'all know the history of the Maccabees. When it's that time, if it's meant for you to be liberated, I'm going to send down an angel with a whole array of weapons, with the weapon wheel that he can do R1, R1, R2, L2, triangle, square, circle, X, R3, L3, video game talk. Don't you, as you get through the higher levels, you get the weapons. We just got a new game now. We're going to be playing too. We're looking forward to the weapons. We're going to be playing with that game. No. You want to have a whole slew of weapons. My brother said, go shoot him in the face. But anyway, yeah, so when it comes down to it, he's going to protect you. He's going to take care of you. But back to this, 18:17. 18:18. And the men rose up, 18:16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. 17. And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? I hide from Abraham that thing which I do. So think about it. The whole purpose for him coming to meet him was to tell him that. So that in the event that this happens, he knows without a shadow of a doubt that I told you it was going to happen. Let's go now, family, to Genesis 27. So we see, Genesis 27, remember, Genesis 27. So we see from that example that Yahweh has no problem coming to meet you, and when he sits with you and he talks with you, he will drop some rules on you. He's going to lead you to something for you to look forward to, because think about now, we know the rest of the story and how it all played out, but imagine how they felt, knowing that this promise was given to them, and that with this promise being given to them, that the one thing that they had really hoped for all their life was actually going to come into fruition, that they would have a child. Now you know the story panned out, and the king Ishmael on his way before Isaac and all of that, but the point of the matter is that Yahweh came to meet them, Yahweh came to talk with them, and that he told him something that he could have just done anyway. So we're in Genesis 27, guys. And we know that then he told Sarah, let's read a little bit of it first. 21. And Abraham, Genesis 21. And Abraham journeyed, 21. And Abraham journeyed from thence towards south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But Elohim came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself, said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And Elohim said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet.
and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, surely die, thou and all thine heart. So now what do we see there? The first time that the term prophet is associated with anybody, he's talking about Abraham. It was with Abraham, and it came to Abimelech from Yahweh, because it came to him in a dream. Okay? And he said, if I speak, my brother talked about it last night. Not so with my servant Moses. We went over that situation. Everybody else, I talked in dreams and I'll submit to you, right? Right? So now we see here even that he talked to Abimelech in a dream and told him straight up, don't touch her. I prevented you from sinning. I'm giving you this fair warning. It's the warning shot, pluck out. Don't do it. If you do it, then I'm going to punish you. And he told him, no. And then we see 28, therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all the servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done to us? And what have I offered thee that thou brought on me and my kingdom the great sin that thou hast done these deeds unto me that thou art not to be done? And Abimelech said to Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I besought, surely the fear of Elohim is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. So we know he's talking about Abraham, and he's referring to Abraham being the prophet in that situation. Y'all following with me?
Yep.
All right. This isn't going to be a law lesson. Okay, so now, one of the things that Abba said to do is talk about this prophet. There's one specific chapter in Deuteronomy, criteria of a prophet. Let's take a look at that. We're going to go to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. Actually, this whole chapter talks about some good stuff because, you know, one of the things that Abba, you know, placed on my heart to talk about, too, in a future lesson was the labor of the priests, the labor of the teachers, and what they put into ensuring that people get the word of Yahweh and hear the will of Yahweh. You know, and that's even one of the things that Brother talked about in his lesson was, you know, Yahweh sends these people here because he wants to have that communion with them. He wants to have that relationship, but he picks specific people about his will, so then that way, hopefully they'll hear it, receive it, and live that, so then that way, nobody cares about your soul more than the person who is willing to give revelation of Yahweh to you. Because that's his whole soul, that's his intent and his purpose. Why else do this? Why else? Why else come up with a lesson? Why else come and stand up here if you don't care about other people's souls? I can take care of myself, and I'm talking about each one of us. I'm speaking on behalf of everybody who comes up here and teaches. We can take care of ourselves. I can learn and study for myself. I mean, as a member here, and not have to agonize about coming up with a lesson, not have to agonize about, whoa, what am I going to talk about for the next 6 weeks, or not agonize every seventh Shabbat before it's my turn to teach. And I'm not saying me. I'm speaking on behalf of all my brothers that's here and not even here, so who included. We can do other things with our time. We would rather do other things with our time. Trust me, am I talking all by myself? It feels good when Yahweh reveals to you. It feels good when Yahweh talks to you. It feels good when you're up here and you feel like Yahweh has filled you up and poured you out with the stuff for the congregation. But I'm sure I don't speak just for myself. I'd rather sit and be a spectator. Rather let somebody else do all the teaching. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Total agreement. We was good. Until we got in our mind, man, we need to find a brother some help. Oh, I got help, brother. Chicken, chicken, chicken. But we was good sitting back here listening to him. Foolish us. Yeah. Because when his predecessor was up here, we was fine being his little children. Go ahead, girls and men down. Go ahead, Rabbi. Yeah, hallelujah. And even when he took over, go ahead, Yaka'el. Go ahead, Brother Lanny. Go ahead, Brother Lanny. Preach, brother. Yeah, brother. Yeah, hallelujah. It's y'all turn. That's nice for food, boy. Nervous. You try to find a reason not to come up in here. Father, listen, anything. Flu. Bubble guts. Bad headache, anything. Let me trip up or down the stairs. It don't matter. You know, I know. I would leave that for me that first time. Boy, he's like, no, I don't want to do it. No. But here we are today. You know, this is a labor of love, family. This is a labor of love. It really is. Because you agonize over it. And you, even now, you still say, boy, when it's your time, you say, well, let me see if I can find an excuse not to be here today. Well, let me check my work phone. Let me see if they're calling me. Let me check my work email. See if they need me for something. You know, it's the truth. But then once you get past that and you come up here and you talk with your family, you feel like, wow, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Abba. But anyway, Deuteronomy 18:15. Yahweh thy Elohim will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Yahweh my Elohim, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. So this is what they asked for, to have prophets. Me and my brother was talking about it. It brought me to tears when I walked through Lexington Market this week and I saw the state of our people, and I was on the phone with my brother, and I was like, man, and we just finished talking about what Yahushua said. When he looked at his people and saw the state that they lived in, he was overwhelmed with compassion, but had to say, look at y'all. Look at y'all. Jerusalem. Kill these prophets. Look at y'all. Look at the state that y'all in. But if I raise up a prophet right now, what y'all going to do to him? Tell him, shut up. Lock him in a dungeon or a prison. Kill him. Because y'all don't want to hear my words. Y'all rather be in that state. Y'all want to see the worst condition of black people walk through Lexington Market. At the highlight of the day. I've been doing it for the last 20-something years. You won't see no work conditions for our people than what you see at that market. To the point where even last year they had people shooting out in the middle of the day. Lunchtime, they shooting up there. That goes to show you the disregard of life that they have. See? You walk past it, all you hear is loud. I got this, I got that, I got anything to get your mind blasted. I'm talking about fresh off the subway before you even walk a block. If there's any vice I want, I can get before I go to work. See to be in that state. But yet complain that ain't nothing going right for us. I can't wait to see that movie, Us, because I know what it's about. It's about us and us killing ourselves. I've been good with us. It's about us because we're killing ourselves. We are our own worst enemy. I took that from that movie, man. When that man said, I look, why did it have to be the, it said, I saw my worst enemy, and when I looked back at it, it was me. We are our own worst enemy, but yet instead we cry, save me, President, save me, Congressman, save. But nobody will ever say, save me, Yahweh. You come out and say, you know what, there's a better way for us. But what is this better way? The Bible, the Torah, the word of God, Yahweh, and his son Yahushua. Man, get that out of here. You were there. The bleed up. That's the second worst place you could be up is in Upton. That's the second worst place you could be is Upton. Right there at Penn. Right? Penn, I forgot the side street, but right there on Pennsylvania Avenue. Along that whole strip. The worst of the worst is right there on that strip. To the point where they just did something on the news on the Today Show. And I'm watching this guy and I'm like, hold up. That's what you mean. That's Northwestern. Wait a minute. He down there in Pennsylvania. Said that this, the herald capital of the world. And you got brothers out there that's happy to see that. Happy to see that. Yeah, y'all, we got that rep, y'all. I'll never forget the video. What's his name? Chad Johnson, Oso Cinco said, man, y'all wild up in Baltimore. Here it is on Penn North, right there, by up there. Here go the man riding the horse. And I'm like, brothers can ride horses? So I go to one of my connects, ask him, yo, brother, got horses by where y'all live at? Oh, yo, man, we got stables. We got a lot of brothers in the hood know how to ride horses. God dang. For real? What? Here it is in the midst of all that ride. You got the brother on the horse. So guess what? They ready. Boy, they ready. They ain't stupid, but ready to do what? Mm. Not fight for y'all, bro. Mm. Keep their criminal enterprises, keep oppression on going. Yeah. Think about it. We better keep these horses. One day cars ain't going to be available. Got to be still got. Why else? Why else? That was amazing to me. I ain't think a brother knew how to rode a horse outside of a movie. Da-da. But to know that brothers in the hood got stables and feed horses and got horses, wow! Mind blown. For years, my brother loved. You had a stable? Oh, look at that. Right in the midst of us. Didn't even know. Keep it secret. Well, we ain't learning how to ride these horses. It's true. It's true. But like I said, the guy online, he's a horse owner, and he said it's easier to maintain horses than to maintain a car, less expensive. He said it's just like having a big dog. You got to feed him, keep the stable clean. But who wants to do that kind of work? Really, who wants to do that kind of work? But that's what our people were known for. We were herding. Because when the Egyptians said, oh, here come them detestable Hebrews again, them farming folk, you see what I'm saying? That's our pedigree. That's what we're supposed to be known for. Livestock, herdsmen, agriculture, that's what the Hebrews are supposed to be about. See, that's not the Egyptian life. That's not the chemist life. That's not their life. They like, that's detestable to us. Ew. For real. You got to look at it like that. When the Hebrews come in, they're like, ew. When my Jimmy Fallon would say, ew. That's how they looked at us. Because not only do you stick from being around the animals, when you're doing that type of hard labor and you ain't got arid extra dry, you start to smell too. So not only are you smelling from the animal, you're smelling because you stink too. But anyway, back to these prophets. And Yahweh spoke unto them, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and she shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now, what did my brother talk about last night? You going to talk about your lesson, my brother. What scripture was that when he should have said that? Yeah, can you access your lesson, my brother? Can you use your fancy iPad and look for that while I finish reading this? What Yahushua said about speaking his father's name. Can you look it up on your fancy iPad? The scriptures you used last night. Because we need those scriptures because it's important. Please, my brother. Thank you. 18:17. Yahweh said unto him, they have spoken well that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will hearken unto my words, he shall speak in my name, I will require of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, and that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which Yahweh hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of Yahweh, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which Yahweh hath not spoken. But the prophet that hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So we see, so now what is the purpose and the intent of Yahweh using a prophet? Amen. Simple as that. That's what the word defined it as. The prophet is the spokesman, the exclusive spokesman for Yahweh. Amen. And that's why it's very specific. If I give it to him and it comes to pass, and he's speaking and it comes to pass, that means I spoke it to him. But if he speaks something on his own accord and it don't come to pass, don't listen to what he got to say. But he goes even further. This is even before he gets to this. He's going to go to 13. Matter of fact, let's start at verse 1. Because he's telling you, he told you even before that, before I even give you the criteria, I'm letting you know that prophets and dreamers are going to rise up. And they're going to say some good stuff, but you got to be careful, right? 13:1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and give it thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, whereof he spake which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for Yahweh your Elohim proveth you to know whether or not ye love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. So he wants to establish that first. And then he's going to let you know that the criteria of a prophet is that he must speak my word. That's his sole purpose. He ain't got nothing else to do with his life besides speak what Yahweh has spoken to him, what Yahweh has revealed to him, what he has sat down and Yahweh has counseled with him on.
Yes.
Amen. And funny thing is, I was doing my search on prophet. You know the one book where I thought I would see the term prophet and it wasn't in there? The book of Joshua. So when he says, I'm raising up a prophet like unto me, in part he meant the book of Yahushua, but he didn't mean him specifically. Why is prophet not mentioned in that book, an associated book, the prophet Yahushua? That one. But later on we get what he says. Didn't the baby find it yet, my boy? Let me see if I can find it. Where he says, Shabbat. Where he says, I come and I speak. I can only speak what my father tells me to speak.
Nice.
Can you find that for me, Aki? She says, yeah. So when you look at the fact check, because I tried to find it. Maybe it isn't there somewhere, but in the book of Joshua, the book of Yahushua, the term prophet, I don't find it being mentioned in there as far as a prophet of Elohim. So, and then, but then, because when you look at even Revelation, where it says the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach is the spirit of prophecy, and one of the things it talks about, keeping the Torah and having the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach. See, Yahweh had to put certain things in place because eventually these things are going to become an issue. But Yahushua says, I can only speak what my Father gives me to speak. I can only speak his words. I can only talk what he tells me to talk. So that's, yes, sir. Is it? Is it? Can you read it, my brother? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what was that? What was that, Aki?
Mm-hmm.
So what is he letting you know right there? He's a prophet. Isn't that the criteria of a prophet? Okay, not detracting that he is Moshiach and he is the son of the living God, but he was also a prophet, one who spoke. Because when the world thinks about prophet, and we're going to look at that scripture too, when the world thinks about prophet, they think about the fortune teller. They think about the soothsayer. They think of, because the perversion of the prophet is it has been brought down to he's a fortune teller, a soothsayer. No. A true prophet speaks what Yahweh tells him to speak. He sits with Yahweh. Yahweh counsels him. He counsels Yahweh. And then Yahweh was learned by revelation that that is the message he goes out there and he gives it to the people. Period. That's the word. That's the word. And Moshe, who Yahweh said at one point to Pharaoh, you're going to be God. You're going to be El. And Aaron is going to be the prophet. So no. Moshe speaking in that spirit of El, that power, can now give you the criteria of a prophet. Because that's what, as a matter of fact, let's look at that. That's an absolute holy moment. Because that's the criteria. See, we have to have certain benchmarks. We have to have certain criteria to back up what we say. Okay, so Moshe, when Yahweh calls him, what did he do? Oh, no, don't send me up in there to speak to Pharaoh, man. I'll talk. Funny, I can't do it. Excuse. And Yahweh said, who made the tongue? But okay. Moshe, no problem. I'll appease you. It was by divine will that he do that. And he said, you know what? You will take my place, and your brother Aaron will now work in your place. Right? Exodus 7:1. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, see, I have made thee El to Pharaoh. And Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. So now, guess what? Yahweh used him as an example. All right, I got it. Hello. Come here, brother. when we go to speak to Pharaoh, this is what you're going to say. Because I'm not going to say it. We already established that. You, the spokesperson, right or wrong, say this verbatim, word for word. Let my people go. Right or wrong? He's going there with no whole lot of talking. Next time, let my people go that they may serve you. Let my people go that they may serve you. Right or wrong? See, you won't get caught up in telephone. You won't give them a whole lot of stuff. A simple phrase, let my people go. Let my people go that they may serve their God. Put that example through motion. He can go now back in 18 and define what a prophet's supposed to do because he lived it. He lived the example of it. Right or wrong? Okay. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 9:9. So Samuel, after a time, was one of the first major prophets to roll up on the scene. And I, you know, just want to include this because, matter of fact, let's read a little bit more of 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter. Okay. Now there was a man in Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becherot, the son of Asiah, a Benjamin, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Shaul, a choice man, and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel goodly a person than he, for his shoulders and upright, he was higher than any of the people. Man, shoulders, man, yo, let me know, man, this brother was the, like how you got models, you know how you got that one sports model, you be like, damn, that brother, that was Shaul, that was King Saul, right? And he was higher than any of the people. That means he was tall, he was built. And the 9:3. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Shaul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise. Go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalishah, but they found them not. And then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they were and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Suf, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, and let us return, lest my father have caring, lest my father leave caring for the donkey, and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of Elohim, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure, he can shoot that we should go. Then said Saul unto his servant, behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of Elohim. What have we? And the servant answered Saul said, behold, I have here at the hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver that I will give to the man of Elohim to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of Elohim, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Okay? So people have always had this understanding that you go to the man of God to inquire of the Creator so that way you can get the lost donkey. But think about it. They've been looking for these lost donkeys and they said, well, Yahweh knows where he is. And if Yahweh knows where he is, that means his servant knows where he is. The prophet knows where he is. Right or wrong? That's the example right there. Okay? So now we can conclude with this. 2 Chronicles 20:20. We all know this scripture. We all know this scripture. We all know this scripture. One of my faiths.
Yeah.
And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. Why the wilderness? And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Yehuda, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Yahweh your Elohim, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And when he consulted with the people, God included them. And Yahweh, unto Yahweh, thou shalt praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army to say, Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh for his mercy endureth forever. Shalom, family. Any thoughts, any questions, anything? Okay. Hallelujah. All praise, honor, and glory be to Yahweh. Next week, okay, Aki.
Mm-hmm. One thing that came to mind is when he first revealed to Moshe that he was going to kill the people. What Moshe did, he interceded for the people. But that's never a criteria.
He was late.
And another thing, when Abraham, he talked about he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah.
Hallelujah.
He said, Abraham should pray for you.
Hallelujah.
Should intercede.
Hallelujah. Why? Because the prophet has an intimate relationship with the Creator. They have. That's the high phone. Time to switch. They talk. They have an intimate relationship. As you can see from this example with Shaul, they were lost. They were looking for their donkey. Think about how trivial, really, that might be in some sense. Sure, it's important to find these donkeys, but do you really want to invoke a prophet for the donkey? But that goes to show you one of the things that when Moshe was sitting with the people day in, day out, his father-in-law said to him, hold up, man, you can't talk to these people all day long. This is surely wearing you out. That's because the people, you think about it. People got questions. People want answers. There's things that people want to talk to Yahweh about. But in order to talk to Yahweh, you talk to the man of Yahweh. But that one man can't do it all by himself. He's got to have other people that's with him to help so that you don't wear the man out. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, but that's anybody else have anything? So next week, we're going to, okay, Aki.
I just thought it was interesting that you learn about the prophet and talking about revealing how it's denuding itself.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that he says, shall I hide anything from Abraham, which, you know, it literally means to conceal.
Right.
You know, I think it's like, and you're looking at the whole prophet thing and what Yahweh does in revealing versus concealing.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows the two oppositions.
Amen.
Of exactly what he was doing.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. Amen. He's not. When it comes to that relationship, he ain't holding nothing back. And you think about why even he was so angry with Yisrael when they cheated on him.
Amen.
Because nobody takes off their outer garments in front of somebody that they don't feel an intimate connection to. And that is supposed to be the example of why we even do that act. Think about that. Think about it. Think about how special Yahweh felt for his people to do that. He said, I have not done so with any other nation.
Lord.
I don't know them like that.
Lord.
They don't know me like that. Y'all supposed to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Then y'all went, y'all switched up God. Wait, hold on. Y'all on me? Makes me think of one of my favorite rap songs, Ether, when he says, you? Nah, I suppose, you? You, bro? Me? You gonna cheat on me? You gonna do that to me? After all I've done for you? Oh, boy. Drive a man crazy. Drive you start raving mad. Matter of fact, we have an example of that in Baltimore. The other day, that man found out that his wife was messing around with all of them and went and killed him. Is it right? No. But when he found out, and the guy was like, just leave her. You could have done a whole bunch. You didn't have to kill her. Right? But just an example right there. It could drive you crazy. Is it right? No, it's not right to do that. Okay. All right. All right, family. That's it. Next week, next Shabbat, Yahweh's willing, we're going to talk about the sun, the moon, and the stars. because that's another thing. See, we're going to talk about science, astronomy, which is mythology, which now they have taught us to be divination. However, the scriptures give us examples that Yahweh talks to us through them stars, through them signs and moons. He talks to us through that.
Right.
But see, astronomy will have you call astrology pseudoscience, when in all actuality it's flipped. You talking about it? That when they sent that last rocket up into the into space, what the name of that rocket was that Elon Musk sent up there? The Dragon. So these scientists are showing who they're working with. But they got us thinking all along that that astrology, the scriptures, so type of astrology that has been bastardized and what we receive today. Call me now! Not that type of astrology. Not that type of soothsaying. That's soothsaying. But the type of studying, learning the logic of the luminaries that he gave us and told us, taught to us. You're going to find that's in the scriptures.
That's right.
Okay. All right, so next week, Yahweh willing, that's what we will talk about, family. Shalom. Oh, sorry. Got ahead of myself. Forgive me. Cold Queen, family. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one. Worthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King, and all his words are meant. Sorry, Yahweh. Close us out, Aki.
Hallelujah!
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 Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.